Sorry. All right, now, folks, we've mentioned it's a bunch of weeks. All right, it's Arts Fest week. Yay. It's shopping, competitive shopping week, or whatever you want to call it.
Prime week.
Here on our station, again, I call this political week. So we've covered the feds. We've covered the state. Today we're going to cover the local. How about that? And so we welcome back to our program Center County Commissioner Mark Higgins. Commissioner, first off, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Happy to be on the show.
You're very welcome. I've got a bunch of questions, and again, the feds, the state, too often, folks, we ignore the local. You know, the feds and the state, especially the feds, get all the publicity. No. Let's pay attention to local.
Yes,
right?
Indeed.
So can we call you Mark? Would that
be fine.
Okay.
Sure.
I don't know, for some reason, the closer to home, I like using first names and so on. If Donald Trump ever shows on our show, which will never happen, don't worry about that, I would never call him, hey, Don. I would never do that. Anyway.
No.
All right, Mark, let me start just sort of a wide open, open-ended question. All right, we're halfway through a calendar year now. For locally, what's the state of things, you know, for Center County right now? You know, are things going really well? Hey, we're kind of struggling over here and so on. Just sort of the overall, what's the state of things for the county right now?
Well, in Center County, things are pretty well because it's Center County and we've got all these great citizens doing all these wonderful things. Normal county our size would have maybe 100 or 150 nonprofits that aren't houses of worship. In Center County, it's more like 300. They're doing tremendous things all over the place. Was just at a ribbon cutting yesterday for a new trail system that will go essentially from State College all the way into Huntington County to great places like Whipple Dam and even eventually Greenwood Furnace. And that was put together by DCNR, the commissioners, and a broad variety of nonprofits, including the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, the CBICC, and the lead agency, the Rothrock Trail Alliance, but Clearwater Conservancy. Tons of groups came together and made it happen. The first 8 miles are done. They're adding 11 miles by late fall, early winter, and Mayor Ezra Naines just went on the first trail to open, and he said it's gorgeous.
Very cool. Okay, so that's great. All right. Oh, now, did you say this expected time to totally finish? What would that be?
Well, it has as many as four phases. So the first phase opened a little earlier this summer. The second phase, it'll get you to Whipple Dam, will be opening. Obviously, it's trails, so it's very weather-dependent. But sometime late fall, early winter, it'll be complete. And then I believe they already have a lot of the initial fundraising done for phase three. So maybe hopefully that could take place in 26. I don't know when phase four is scheduled yet.
Okay. Now, for the trail, this is just for hiking? Could it be for, like, mountain biking? I mean, if folks want to try this out, how would they do it?
Yeah. It's pretty much going to be an all-of-the-above trail. There'll even be some sections that can handle horses. So there was a horse at the ribbon cutting. I haven't seen a horse at a ribbon cutting before. it's great for hiking. It'll be great for mountain biking. And there are some sections that you can even handle on a gravel bike, too.
Right.
I wouldn't use a road.
All right, that's pretty cool. All right, I'll look forward to that. I like to hike, so I'll look forward to that. That's great. All right,
now just go to the Musser Trail Gap, hike up toward the top, and suddenly you'll find a whole new network of trails up there.
Great. All right, folks, check that out sometime. Now, I've got a list of, you know, topics and questions and so on, but again, let me go open-ended here because you're a county commissioner. You're the guy in charge. Top issues on your plate right now, you know, things happening either countywide or certain areas of the county and so on, the things that are taking the most of your attention, what are top issues here right now?
All right, so let's unpack this. First of all, I'm not necessarily the guy in charge. There's three commissioners.
Well, I know that. Okay, that's what I meant.
Several hundred elected municipal officials who all do very important work. And between the municipalities and the counties, we kind of define your quality of life. We're literally the boots on the ground. I mean, the federal government can talk about all this money they're spending, but in most cases, the actual work is done by the just a little bit over 3,000 counties nationally. So here in Center County, we've got about 560 employees, and we do 52 completely different separate things that oftentimes don't even relate to each other. So this is a – if we have a slow period, it's now. You know, we've got a lot of new policies in place, implemented a number of new programs, and budget season starts next month. Plus, Grange Fair keeps us pretty busy, too. So right now we're working on multiple construction projects. Our average building is over 100 years old. We have taken some cuts from the federal level, and so we're trying to rearrange staff and trying to get maybe 75% done with maybe 60% of the funding. So we're always reacting and anticipating. We're a little concerned about what's happening with the Community Development Block Grant, CDBG. Sorry, it's somewhat of a long acronym. But it's basically how we keep our water and sewer systems functioning in rural Center County. Most of that money goes toward putting in new pumps, drilling new wells when a well dries out, putting in new cisterns and retaining basins that are, say, 100 years old and full of frogs. So when you're a county commissioner, it's always something, but we haven't had any escaped emus recently, so it's a good day.
All right.
Where do things stand with the with Rockview? Do you have an update there on where we're at and any feeling of either optimism, pessimism as to whether or not the facility is ultimately going to close or not?
Well, we haven't heard anything definitive, but on the scale from pessimism to optimism, from a pessimism standpoint, they could have announced weeks ago that they were closing it, and thank goodness they haven't. So we're hopeful that either they're going to maybe keep one of the two open or perhaps keep a portion of Rockview open maybe do something creative and keep both facilities open. We're unfortunately having to wait and see what's going to happen with that. But obviously at this point there's more than 800 families that are kind of waiting and on hold and wondering if they should renew their lease on their apartment, wondering if they should, get a more reliable car because now suddenly they're going to have to drive 50 or 60 miles each way to work instead of 10 or 5 or 1. excuse me. So it's kind of rough on the families. It's also rough on the inmates. For them, where they're at right now, especially at Rockview, it's like their neighborhood. It's their community. Rockview is actually well regarded within the Department of Corrections and is generally the best or second best of the main incarcerating facilities in terms of recidivism rates. And they actually have a pretty tough group of inmates there because they handle a lot of, I think it's the Alzheimer's dementia facility for the entire state. I believe they also handle a lot of inmates with serious mental illnesses and make a lot of progress and help amend a lot of lives. So great team of people at Rockview, also good, great team of people at Quahana. We're hoping either they stay open or at least some portion of them stay open.
All right, I'm confused again, all right, Mark, because yes. We've had other guests talking about the prisons. You just had a bunch of very positive things to say about the prison and, yes. Well-run and all that sort of stuff. I don't understand why Governor Shapiro and company want to close the place. And, again, we've had Senator Dush on the program, and he's kind of railed against this and, you know, provided evidence and information. Why? Mark, why are we even talking about this still? Why do they want to close this place down? I do not understand.
Well, the official reason, Scott and Jeff, goes back to the state legislature. The Department of Corrections runs something like 23 different facilities, many of which are decades old, or in the case of Rockview, more than 100 years old, and they need a lot of upkeep. They need a lot of work. And I believe the state legislature budgets a total of $50 million a year for upkeep for all 23 facilities in toto. So, I mean, maybe at Quahana, their share of that at maybe $2 million might kind of sort of keep them operational. But I think Rockview alone, counting some projects that have already been done, and I don't have the exact figures on that, but the estimate from the Department of Corrections was Rockview alone needed $74 million of capital projects and facility work done over the next several years. Now, again, I think some of that's been done, but that's kind of what the Secretary of the Department of Corrections is up against. They probably need, goodness knows, $100, $150, $200 million a year to keep the places from falling into disrepair, but they're only allotted $50 million. So their official reason for closing both facilities was the amount of capital projects and construction that was needing to be done.
Hmm. All right, let's be a pessimist, if you will, all right? Let's say that Governor Shapiro and company, you know, they drop the bomb and they say, sorry, Rockview, you're done. Do you folks, does the county have some plans, like you've already brainstormed or whatever, you've written down some plans, if they close the prison, here's what we're going to do? I don't know. Have you folks thought that far ahead yet, or is that too early?
Well, first, it's a little too early, but second, there are... our ability to respond to something of that magnitude is somewhat limited. I believe the hit to the economies here in central PA would be something in the realm of $118 million. And Center County government collects $25 million of property taxes for operational purposes. So the scale of that is way larger than we would directly be able to handle. Now, we're always short on corrections offices at our own facility, so maybe, possibly, some of our employees who worked for us for a few years or 10 years and moved to Rockview might not have enough seniority to move over to Benner, and if so, we'd love to have them back. Also, depending on timing, the casino at the mall is possibly going to open here sometime around Christmas. And if that's the case, or maybe New Year's, if that's the case, they're going to need security people. But again, that's a handful. We've also been working with a broad variety of stakeholders on some redevelopment projects that might potentially require people with corrections officer skill sets. But right now, about the most booming industry in Center County outside of Penn State is hospitality. Since 2019, they've added 2,000 additional staff, and if you kind of go at the low point from COVID to today, it was probably more like 4,000. Now, those jobs have widely varying pay and aren't generally going to approach the $72,000 a year your average Department of Corrections employee made, including overtime, in 2023. So there's some things that we're working on. But this is a, you know, it's the biggest closure in Center County since the Corning glass plant closed about 20 years ago.
Now, again, this was allegedly supposed to be official, what, two months ago, I think, mid-May or something like that. Actually, you made some good points there. Folks that work at the prison, gee, do I renew my lease on my house or my apartment? And yeah, there's a lot of people kind of living in limbo land right now. And again, you don't have any kind of vibe like, okay, they're going to do it in July. They're going to announce something in August. You really have no idea on the timing of this.
No idea on the timing. In a way, just kind of happy that, you know, the first day or two they would have been allowed to announce it, they closed it. That didn't happen, so we're trying to stay positive and think that perhaps they're either going to look at maybe a partial closure or perhaps come up with something creative to either keep those facilities open or find some way to find more jobs for the staff. Because the staff, I believe, is promised to retain their jobs. But, you know, there's a big difference between having a medium amount of seniority at Rockview and hopefully having the shifts you like and arranging your family's schedule so that everything works out for everybody, because there's a lot of corrections officers where after a hard day at work, they're going home and caring for aging relatives or children. So it could be kind of rough on them. They are guaranteed jobs, but, you know, if your new job is 72 miles away, you're going to have to move pretty quick.
Yeah. Before we take a break, the partial closure idea, Mark, I've not heard this one before. What is that? What idea would that be? Like half the prison is open? I mean, what is that exactly?
Well, when you see it from the street, Rockview looks like just one building. But it's been around for so long, there's actually more like 20 buildings. And, for example, the forestry program, highly regarded. A lot of returning citizens have gotten jobs in that field. Also super helpful to the local state parks and state forests. I mean, that could be continued as a program, and there's a few jobs there. They could potentially do something with the dementia group, keep that open. They could do a number of different things. I mean, if they wanted to save money, apologies to the two wardens, but maybe you only need one warden. Maybe you need, I don't know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but maybe you need four deputy wardens instead of six or eight. You know, there would be some ways by combining the two facilities where you could save noticeable amounts of money and maybe close the portions of Rockview that require the highest capital spending, but keep most of the rest open. I mean, it's kind of a half a loaf kind of situation for county residents, but, you know, we'd rather keep 30% of the jobs than to have all of them disappear.
All right. I'll be honest, I've not heard this option before, but that would be kind of interesting. All right, folks, we're going to take a break here. Centre County Commissioner Mark Higgins is our guest. We've got some more questions for the commissioner. That lovely state budget, there's another thing. We're just kind of sitting, waiting. Yeah, I just heard you. Okay. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Folks, we'll take a break, and we'll come right back after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. DebtFix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for DebtFix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call DebtFix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388. Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544. to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.com? Info. When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 98.7 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 98.7thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 98.7 The Fox.
The Center Hall Farm Store is ready to meet all of your feed needs. Whether you're feeding livestock, pets, wildlife, or birds, stop in and let the Center Hall Farm Store provide the best food options for the animals in your life. And with winter coming, now is the time to stock up on wood pellets from the Center Hall Farm Store. Check them out in person at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or online at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. 110 Allison Street in Center Hall.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the spring sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It is a Friday morning edition of Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you again. A little open phone time coming up in the final segment of today's big show.
And joined on the line by Sutter County Commissioner Mark Higgins as we talk over some local issues. All right, now, Mark, right before the break, I mentioned, yep, state budget. Here we're sitting and waiting, and we heard you groan. All right, that was audible. We heard you groan there, all right? And we don't know. Well, we had a state guest yesterday, a reporter, and that covers Harrisburg, and he didn't have any, you know, we don't know when this is going to be done. For folks aren't familiar, when a state budget is late, if it's next week, next month, or whatever, how does that affect county government? I mean, what do you have to deal with waiting for Harrisburg to finally get their work done?
Well, again, we like to maintain great relationships with our state legislators, but Center County is having its 225th anniversary this year, and to the best of my knowledge, every single one of our budgets has been on time for 225 years. I think this is the eighth late state budget in the last 10 years. Their budgets are late, whether the governor is a Republican or a Democrat. When I took office in 2016, the second thing we did on my first day on the job was borrow $10 million to make payroll, because I think that was the all-time record for how late a state budget was. That state budget was 6.5 months late, and even Center County ran out of money at that point. And financially, we're one of the better managed counties in the state financially. So in the short term, if it's a few weeks, we're used to it. We do have a rainy day fund. We can cover the cash flow issues of the state not getting around to send us checks for some of the programs. As it gets into a couple of months, again, it depends on how things are going. Between the governor and the legislature, Sometimes they'll authorize payments to at least some counties for some programs, and sometimes they're like, nah, we don't have a budget, so we don't know how much money you'd be getting, so we're not sending you any money. It's very frustrating. Very roughly, I think this is like 4 years ago, counties in Pennsylvania together, our budgets were like $24 billion with a B. And a large fraction of that is federal money that passes through the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania before it finally gets to us to do all of the important things like Meals on Wheels and following up with abuse, either financial or physical, with senior citizens, with children, operating the 911 system, operating emergency response. I mean, what's been happening there in the South is horrible, and I certainly hope things turn out okay down in Texas and Kentucky and other places. But people tend to forget that the county is there until something horrible happens, and then they're like, hey, you know, we want you to fix everything. Well, I mean, we do our best, and during the flooding of October 22nd, 2016, I think the county responded pretty well to that. Thank God nobody died, nobody drowned. We lost a road, but we worked with the state and the feds to find most of the money for the township to repair that road. So, you know, people do notice when the county doesn't necessarily function well, but nobody notices when your county's doing a good job.
Yeah, that's true. We pay attention to the bad news much more than we do to the good news. I'd agree with that. Now, you folks, I mean, it's amazing. Let's see if I've got my number right. There has not been a Center County real estate tax increase for, I believe, 15 years in a row. I think I have that. Is that accurate? I think I have that right.
You have that correct. It's not quite a statewide record, but we're getting close. And what people also don't realize, I don't even quite get the year right, but I believe properties in Center County are valued at what they were worth in 1996. And in the meantime, the value, your average value of property at this point, virtually anywhere in Center County, because Phillipsburg's been doing really well the last 3 years or so, you're talking your property's worth probably close to triple, maybe even quadruple what it was in 96 or 97. Oh, and by the way, a lot of counties assess you at your full 100% value. In Center County, it's half. And that's why we're running a $130 million budget on $24 million, $25 million of local operating tax on property. So, yeah, it's kind of an amazing situation, and a lot of credit goes to some prior boards of commissioners, some of which I was on, some of which I wasn't, and county staff, and the 300 nonprofits in Center County that in some cases are performing functions that counties have to perform in other parts of the Commonwealth. So it's a massive team effort. The county, the 100 human service agencies we contract with, the 80 or so nonprofits that we help fund through the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau Tourism Program. It is a tremendous amount of work, Scott and Jeff, pretty much every single day to say, do we need to spend this money? Yes. Okay, what are the yards and yards of rules and regulations at the state and federal level that we have to follow so that they don't recapture this money from us? It's been probably almost 20 years since Center County government has had to give a substantial amount of money back to the states or the feds. But in other counties, it happens every couple of years because the rules are unbelievable. Man, if you don't dot an I or don't cross a T, they're asking for hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars back, even though you performed the services, even though the nonprofit you contracted with performed the services. Again, some people don't always understand about government is we are highly regulated. Center County government is audited dozens of times a year by state and federal agencies, in addition to having an internal audit department with the controller, and having an outside auditing firm check everything as well.
All right. With all that said, and with all the challenges from Washington and all the challenges from Harrisburg, 16 years in a row without a tax increase seems like a real stretch. Now, you mentioned earlier you folks are going to start brainstorming budget stuff for next year, you know, pretty soon and so on.
Yeah.
Could there be a tax increase next year because of all these balls hanging in the air right now that maybe after 15 years we don't have a choice, we've got to do this? What do you think there?
Well, I want to be very transparent with the public. 41% of our budget comes from state and federal funds, plus a whole bunch of other grants that we're always scrambling for. But at this point, based on what the commissioners know here on the, what day is it, 11th of July? I worked 16 hours yesterday, so I'm a pinch punchy. We're not planning on a tax increase at this point.
Nobody ever plans for a tax increase. Well, maybe
that may not
be quite true,
to.
Right?
No, there was a case the last time 15 years ago when the county had to raise taxes, when the finance director sat down with the commissioners and said, we're going to have trouble making payroll in a couple of months. You've got to raise property taxes. We're a long ways away from that. But you know, because of my background in turning around failing small and medium-sized businesses for 30 years, you know, we found a lot of things that we could do inside of county government that kept our costs down. Our health insurance is self-insured, which generally saves us at least $1 million a year. But during COVID, think about it, people did get sick, but a lot of people didn't get stuff done. A lot of people weren't replacing, you know, joints in their bodies. They weren't doing a whole lot of elective surgery. So if you had regular private health insurance, your insurance company was like, hey, you owe us $7 million whether people are using their health insurance or not. But the county was self-insured, so we were budgeting something like $7 million, and our employees only used like $5.75 million. Well, we were self-insured. We kept that money. We're using it now, but we were able to keep it. I know some people like to say crazy stuff about the solar arrays, but we are saving millions and millions of dollars with the solar array at the Center County Correctional Facility. And we're going to cover probably at least 40% of our costs for electricity at the new community services building with a solar array on the roof. You know, there's been all other sorts of things we've done, combining purchases. So we buy a lot of legal services from Westlaw and Reuters. And so we've combined all those contracts instead of having seven different ones. Another thing, it's kind of in the weeds, but in the old days, you bought your software licenses, one per computer. Well, we have something like 500 computers. Well, then they changed the model, and they're like, no. Now you pay for the total number of people who are using the software at one time. Well, if you have 500 computers, you don't have 500 people using the software all at the same time. Well, our contractor didn't realize that. This couple of software contractors ago didn't realize that, and we were overpaying for the software. Well, I had a background in that field. We dug into it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, we can save tens of thousands of dollars a year by just changing the contract we signed. So it's that times like dozens of different initiatives every year, a lot of which are led by department heads. So I want to thank the county administrators, the department heads and deputy department heads for always keeping an eye on the bottom line.
All right, let me stick with health care. All right, this new federal law last week, big, beautiful bill, blah, blah, blah. Medicaid changes. Goes from D.C. to Harrisburg, Harrisburg to here. On the county government level, these Medicaid changes that are supposed to be happening, how does that affect things here, locally, on the ground?
So in the short term, the changes won't be huge because they're smart in D.C. The overwhelming majority of the biggest cuts aren't going to happen until after the next congressional elections. Very smart. But the problem is, just to use one example, is they're saying that if you're under the age of 65, you have to work to get Medicaid. First of all, a large fraction of the people who have Medicaid are already working. Second, how do they define disabled? Because obviously Center County government helps 18,000 people in Center County every year with a broad variety of human services. And by the way, that's a low number. Cambria County, which is much smaller than us, helps way more people than we do. If someone's intellectually disabled, are they disabled enough that they shouldn't get Medicaid anymore? Well, if they're not going to get Medicaid, now the county's got a huge financial problem because we're now having to pay for that person's health care instead of the federal government. Now, it's not part of center government anymore, but it's CenterCares. There are a lot of people at CenterCares, Scott and Jeff, who are under the age of 65, and they have serious health issues. Are they supposed to work? Who determines that? What new bureaucracy is going to have to be put in place and trained and funded in the next, 16 months to handle this? Because if a state decides to rely on somebody's only disabled if the Social Security Administration says they are, I have friends who had worked in that department, and they are highly incentivized to say that you're not disabled, even if you are. So that's just one example, is how it would affect CenterCare, because suddenly a large fraction of their residents might have to work. Well, they're in a wheelchair. They have limited mobility. How is CenterCare going to, set up a call center inside their building? Plus, all that's done in India now anyway. So there are a whole lot of really, really nasty devils in this detail, Scott and Jeff, that, for example, if the county would now have to start paying for health insurance for potentially thousands of people, because the federal government isn't doing that now with the massive discounts the government gets for contracting with hospitals. Yeah, it could get pretty ugly pretty fast.
All right, let me ask a question about transportation issues. Maybe sort of a brief description. How is the county involved with transportation issues, county government involved with transportation issues? Because we keep hearing SEPTA in Philadelphia, they need tons more money. Pittsburgh Authority needs tons more money. CATA, I'm assuming, needs money. How does county government get involved with all that?
All right, so we'll just limit this to public transportation,
right?
Because the county government isn't like PennDOT or anything, but we do have involvement in transportation planning as well. So for public transit, stuff costs more every year. It just does. Buses are now several hundred thousand dollars. You don't want to talk to volunteer fire companies about how soon a fire truck's going to cost more than $1 million each. That's a different problem for another day. But the state and federal funding has not kept up with those costs. Now, Center County government for decades now has offered what we call our shared ride service. So if you're 60 and older, the government covers 65 and older, the commissioners cover 60 to 64, you can ride for free or close to free anywhere in the county. If you are disabled, you can ride for free almost anywhere in the county. If you are on Medicaid and you don't have transportation and you need to get to a doctor's appointment, again, we'll cover it for free or close to free. Our transportation department is so tremendous, we even send a county vehicle to Danville, to Geisinger, on a regular basis to help people who have medical appointments at the main hospital in Danville. Now, when you do that, you don't just call us up and we show up an hour later. You've got to call us at least a day before, preferably more than that. And you're going to be sharing that bus, probably with a whole bunch of other people. And we're going to pick you up in a window. It's not like, well, we expect the bus is going to show up roughly within a couple minutes of 3:47 one way or another. No, we give you a pretty substantial window to pick you up, to drop you off, to pick you back up again. But, you know, I'm hoping state regulators aren't listening to this. Our drivers are nice people, and so if somebody has a doctor's appointment at one end of the shopping plaza, but there's a supermarket at the other end of the shopping plaza, you know, they make arrangements so that they drop the person off at the doctor's appointment, and then instead of coming back roughly an hour later, maybe they come back 2 hours later, and they pick the person up at the supermarket. So county government provides hundreds of thousands of rides annually, and we scramble like crazy with state and federal grants to cover something like 80% of the cost, and the county covers the remaining 20%.
Commissioner, last question from me. Where are we at with broadband? All right, rural broadband continues to be an issue throughout the state and certainly here in Center County. Can you give us an update on just kind of, from your perspective, where we're at and where we're headed there?
Yeah, well, in Pennsylvania, it is illegal for counties and municipalities to offer broadband service. So regardless of that, Center County and about a dozen other counties found ways to incentivize private sector companies to offer broadband service, which is now why in Penns Valley you've gone from getting internet 2 days a week to getting internet pretty much, 2 days a month to getting internet pretty much every day of the month. And in the case of Milheim, between the original county partner, some new stuff they're doing, and some other providers, I think in some parts of Milheim you can get broadband from three different providers, which obviously keeps the prices down. So the county spent a lot of time preparing for the BEAD program, which was $42 billion nationally. And I think Pennsylvania's share of that was something like $1.1, $1.2 billion. And we were all ready for that stuff to be awarded when it got pulled back a couple weeks ago. Now, some of the changes, some people would say those are improvements. But regardless, it's delayed now substantially. Oh, and of course, now nonprofits can't even offer broadband services under BEAD. It's only for-profit companies. So massive delays. Hopefully, eventually, they get around to putting some shovels in the ground and getting some people some internet. But, yeah, in the meantime, we're back to waiting.
Yeah, that's a popular word these days, waiting. Yeah. Waiting, waiting, yeah. And waiting. All right. Well, Mark, I tell you what, we're out of time, but that was some interesting information you shared. We appreciate your time. And in the very first segment, you mentioned locals, we're the boots on the ground. All right? D.C.
Yeah.
gets the publicity. Harrisburg gets publicity. Not so much at the local end, but this is where things get done. And so whenever we have local elections, I rail, come on, people, go out and vote, because this is really important stuff. And far often than not, it's not publicized. Well, it's not national. No. Boots on the ground. And what you and your group do, you do some really good stuff. And I hope you can keep it going without zingers coming, like dollar sign zingers.
Yes.
All right. So we appreciate your time, and have a good weekend. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Appreciate it. And everybody have a fun weekend. So much going on right now with three arts festivals, Heritage Days in Phillipsburg, just so much happening.
Yep, that is a great time of the summer. Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate the time.
You're welcome.